This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all over the world unite and catch up on the team that finally has an English publication. Well, technically, it isn't from the team, and technically it's not out yet, but everybody, I am pleased to announce that there is going to be an English book that talks all about the Hanshin Tigers. It looks like it's about 300 pages, so you can really dig your teeth into this one this coming off season. It's going to be available, I think, in November, and I'll put the link to the Amazon URL for where that book is, so you can all find it and pre-order. By the way, I'm T-Ray. This is episode number 76, and today is April the 11th. Welcome to the show! And I would like to give a special welcome to my co-host for today, Jake. Thanks for joining us again today, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's great to be here. It's especially great to be talking to you now that baseball has actually started. I think the last time we talked, we had just finished up the exhibition schedule, so we're into the season now. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so yeah, the last time we talked, we had just finished the exhibition season, and it was a very poor one, right? We only won two games, and it left a lot of us fans feeling pessimistic about the season to come. And it hasn't been as bad so far as the preseason was, but it also hasn't been perfect, eh, Jake?
Yeah, it was the exhibition schedule was pretty brutal to watch, and as you could hear from my predictions, if you listen to the last podcast, you can see that pessimism sort of reflected in those. But things picked up, luckily, and it's actually been a pretty fun season to watch so far, with a few exceptions. So yeah, we can get into that in the podcast here.
Well, fun is one way to describe it. Interesting or questionable or frustrating at times is our other ways of describing it. But again, we will jump into that in a little bit. Before we get into baseball, though, let's talk a little bit of non-baseball. This past couple of weeks, I guess like this past week, maybe not so much, but before that was Hanami, cherry blossom viewing season in Japan. And Jake, you live in Kyoto, which is like prime area for that kind of stuff. Did you take any of that in?
Yeah, I did a little bit. You know, unfortunately, my work really tends to pick up right around this time of the year because it's the end of the fiscal year in Japan, so all my clients start dumping work on me. But I'm lucky in that I live right by the old Imperial Palace grounds here in Kyoto, and it's really beautiful there. It's cherry blossoms, there's the plum blossoms, there's everything. So yeah, I try to get over there on lunch break and whatnot and sort of take everything in. But unfortunately, for the most part, I was working and missed a lot of it. So yeah, kind of a bummer.
Gotcha. Well, so for those of you who are not in Japan or are not really aware of what this Hanami season is, basically people will set up blankets underneath a cherry blossom tree, and a lot of times the trees are in parks or along riverbanks or whatever. So it's really cool to just get out in nature, crack open some beers, you know, break out your bento, your lunch, and just enjoy some time with coworkers, with family members, with club members, whatever your circle, social circle is. So yeah, I got to do a little bit of that as well, and it never really gets old, but at the same time, it's never really new, right? I mean, it is the same thing every year, but it is a good time of year.
Yeah, it's one of those cultural things that you never really get tired of, no matter how many times you've done it, I think. And yeah, I always look forward to it, because the thing is, too, is that the cherry blossoms, you know, they're gone before you know it. It only takes about a week for them to all, you know, fall off the trees. So you got to sort of grab the moment. And yeah, it's something that just the country really comes together, and everybody has a really good time doing it. So yeah, I enjoy it very much.
The cool thing too is that like when cherry blossoms are in, it means that spring is here. And for myself, I did Hanami on opening day during the day. And so for me, it's also an indication that baseball is back. And so that is really cool for me. And let's jump right in now to the recaps. So Jake, we have played 9 games now as a club, and the Hanshin Tigers, right up front, we are 5 wins and 4 losses on the year. So we're going to jump through these games real quick. We had our opening day on March the 30th, which is also Hanami Day for T-Ray. It was Randy Messenger against the Yomiuri Giants, and we won that one 5-1. Pretty exciting stuff. We beat their ace, the ace of NPB really, Sugano. So that was really sweet, 5-1 win. Any thoughts on that one, Jake?
Yeah, no, it was just like you said, you know, when you can go up against the number one pitcher in Japanese baseball and beat him at a score of, you know, a score of 5-1, you got to like it. I didn't really see anything in that game not to like. The one run against Randy, too, wasn't really anything serious. It was kind of a fluke hit that led to an RBI later. So, yeah, you know, you just got to be happy. You take the first game of the season and hopefully, you know, get some momentum moving forward.
Couple things of note, every one of our starting fielders got a hit in this one, and Sugano gave up a career worst 12 hits. So that was pretty sweet for us Tigers to be able to do that to him. Also, Yusuke Oyama, I believe, hit his first home run in the season. So really good stuff there. Let's jump into game two. This one came against the Giants again at Tokyo Dome. It was Fujinami on the mound, and they had Taguchi on the mound. We started well, but we ended up losing this one 8-4. To me, it's all summed up in one word, and that is Fujinami.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, this is the one I predicted on the series that the Tigers would go 2-1, and this was the one that I figured they would lose just because Fujinami was out there, and I just didn't have any confidence that he would sort of come back to being the lights-out pitcher he has been in the past, and I was right, unfortunately.
Yes, and we're going to see that you're even more right as the season progresses. So, yeah, Fujikawa gave up a 3-run home run in this one late in the game to cement the loss for us. And we go into Sunday again against the Giants. We got Akiyama on the mound, and we take a 2-0 lead on a couple of solo blasts, but we lose this one 3-2 on a 3-run home run to the same dude that hit one off of Kyuji. So unfortunately, we lose this series, and sorry to boast, and it's not a happy boast, but I was right. I said we'd go 1-2, and we did.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I really think it was just the one pitch by Akiyama. You know, as soon as he threw the pitch, I knew that Okamoto was going to crack it out of there because Okamoto was on fire too. But that was it. You know, aside from that, I thought Akiyama looked really good. So that's the reason I predicted the 2-1. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's just one of those things that happens in baseball. So you just kind of dust yourself off and go into the next series and hope you can, you know, clean that up there.
You're exactly right. I mean, this is baseball, and sometimes the better team loses. Sometimes one pitch can determine the entire game, or one play, and we're going to see that in a bit too. But we go into Yokohama for our next two games. We actually got a couple of days off between series, and we won both of those games, 2-1 on Wednesday and 2-0 on Thursday. A couple of really great pitching performances. Taiki Ono on Wednesday, Randy Messenger on Thursday.
Yeah, so Ono went 7 1/3 innings, you know, just gave up the one run. And yeah, I mean, he just looked great, you know, and it was great to see him actually get his first win of the season, you know, on his first game as opposed to his 13th game his last year. But yeah, nothing not to like there. Mateo, too, with a huge strikeout of Tsutsugo with runners on second and third. That was key right there that got the Tigers out of that mess. And then, you know, Randy was just, I mean, you wouldn't think that you could follow up a pitching performance as good as Ono's with something even better, but Randy did. He 8 innings pitched, 3 hits, 0 runs. Nothing more to say, really. He just did an amazingly good job.
Nobody got into scoring position. Like, nobody touched second base for the Bay Stars. That's how good he was. And that's, you sum it up with that. Randy was just on fire. So here we go. We got a three set. Finally, we're playing at home. This is at Kyocera Dome. And in fact, I took in one. Jake took in one. The first game, neither of us was at. We lost that one 3-2. Any thoughts on that one, Jake?
Well, it was once again, it was Fujinami. So not really much more to say about that yet. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But again, this is another one that I figured we'd probably lose, and I was hoping Fujinami would be on a shorter leash than he was, but he wasn't, and that ended up sort of being the difference in this one, so unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but he didn't get hung with the loss in either of his two games that he started, even though the team lost both. This one really can be summed up by the final inning with the Tigers down one run. We got to mention this because this is like unbelievably terrible managing. Cue the Wacky Tomowaki music. Because Yusuke Oyama led off with a double, and then you got Kento Itohara at the plate, our best hitter so far this season. He's a lefty batter going against a righty pitcher. I mean, we could talk mathematically or statistically all night about how this should have been a swing away situation, but instead he bunted Oyama over to third, and then we brought in a pinch runner, and then Umeno did his predictable squeeze play, right? And he's done this thing so many times, I think teams see it coming. Not only that, it was the fourth pitch that he finally landed the bunt, and so there was no element of surprise whatsoever. Game-ending double play. We lose 2-3. Wacky Tomowaki. That was unbelievable. That one's all on him.
This game was probably one of the worst managed games I think I've ever seen. But again, we can get into that a little bit later. I'm gonna try not to rant about it too much, but I warn listeners that I might get a little bit heated when I talk about Kanemoto's blunders in that one, so.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's move on then to Saturday, and yours truly was at that game. Akiyama on the mound for us, and he got the win. We win 3-1. Overall, it was a good game. I mean, there was not really any super tense situations, except I believe Mateo dug himself a really deep hole. I think he went bases loaded with no outs, and then he finally got himself out of that jam. But other than that, it was pretty smooth sailing.
And G actually pitched really well, I thought. He gave up that one home run to Oyama, which was pretty much the difference ultimately. But the one thing was that I think Akiyama would have gone further, and it might have been tricky for you to see from where you were sitting, but watching on TV, there was two in the sixth inning. He gave this 2-1 pitch to Almonte. And it was, by any definition, a strike. I mean, it was right over the plate, like waist high. It was just unbelievable. Even the announcers couldn't believe, that it wasn't called a strike. But he didn't get the call, and he was obviously flustered about it. And that ended up leading to the run that he gave up. If that hadn't happened, I think he would have, trooped through and probably maybe gone 7 or 8 innings possibly. But the bullpen ended up getting it done. We got the win, so you can't really complain ultimately.
No, win's a win, and it was a good one. So, yeah, if you want to see that pitch, you can see a kind of video clip of that on the game recap on the website. So check that out. Let's move into Sunday then. And Jake, you were at this one. Yeah, so we lost this one 9-7, but this one kind of went funny because we were down 5-1, then we were up 6-5, and then we were down 9-6, and then we got one back in the ninth and couldn't complete the rally. So we lose the series to the Dragons at home, at Kyocera, where we're usually pretty good, so it was pretty embarrassing to lose 2 out of 3 there. But let's jump now into the final game of this recap, because today's Wednesday, and last night we had our Koshien opener against the Hiroshima Carp. For us, we had Taiki Ono on the mound, and they had Kazuki Yabuta on the mound. We ended up winning this one 4-3. Ono did not get the win because he got pulled after 5 innings and 3 runs against, and we were down 1-3. A costly error by their shortstop helped us to tie the game, and then Hayata ended up with the game-winning hit, which was he hit a line drive that glanced off the pitcher's glove, dribbled into no man's land, and we got that fourth run. And our relievers were rock solid, so we win and we're 5-4 on the year, and the Central League is log-jammed.
Yeah, this was a lucky win for sure. Wouldn't have done it without that error. But you take it. Itoi had some pretty awful base running blunders a couple times. He got picked off, and he got thrown out at the plate on a ball that he had no business running on. So that was unfortunate. But hey, like we said, a win's a win. You take it, and hopefully that gives us the momentum moving into the game tonight.
Yeah, certainly hope so. So we'll talk a little bit of predictions or a little bit of what's going on in the next week later in the show. But right now, let's jump into the hot topic. So I want to talk about what we like and what we don't like about the 2018 Tigers so far. And so Jake, I'm gonna give you the field right now, or I'm gonna give you the stage. Tell me one of the things that you like so far about this team.
Well, so far, I think our 1-2-3 starters, I mean, if you think of them as, Messenger, Ono, Akiyama, so far they've looked really good, I thought. I mean, last night, Ono, he looked a little rough, but again, he's facing the toughest lineup in the Central League, so I thought they've just looked rock solid. Randy's looked great, and like I said, Akiyama only really had that one bad pitch to Okamoto so far. If they can continue to perform the way they're performing like this, I think that a lot of our pitching worries will be, sort of dulled a little bit, I think we still have to worry about the 4 and 5 pitchers, but if those guys can keep it up, then I think we're in pretty good shape.
Sure, yeah. Definitely those three guys have been really good so far. With Ono, his best pitch is his fastball, but the Carp tend to be really good fastball hitters, and so that's maybe where he landed in a bit of trouble. And it would be interesting, it'll be interesting to see if Kanemoto tries to, you know, set up his rotation so that Ono doesn't have to face the Carp so much. And it's not that he can't handle good teams, but rather like when it's strength against strength, you'd rather match Ono's strength against another team's weakness, right? Yeah. So for myself, something that I've liked so far about the team is Kento Itohara. He has been swinging the bat really well, just like he did in the spring. Man, I think the guy is just a line drive machine, and he's maybe not as good as Kensuke Kondo over with the Nippon Ham Fighters, who's batting like 432 on the season. But Itohara has got a sweet swing. He seems to have pretty decent selection at the plate as well. He's gotten a couple of key walks. And yeah, he just seems like a really solid player. I think his defense is not as big of a liability as I thought it might be. It's not incredible, but it's not so bad. So yeah, Itohara is thumbs up.
Yeah, you know, and you got to remember that Itohara is, you know, this is what, his second year? I mean, his rookie season was last season, right? So, you know, he's still got a lot of time to mature at the plate, you know, and see all the pitchers in the league. And also, you know, he had the injury last season too, so he had a lot of his playing time cut short. Yeah, the defense, you know, might be a bit of a problem now and then. I saw him make, you know, have a couple flubs last night, I think. But, you know, that's something that, you know, he'll pick up as we move forward. So I agree with you. I'm optimistic that we're going to have a really good shortstop for many years to come in Itohara. So yeah, I'm big on Itohara myself too.
Right. Couple other guys that have really been doing well, and that would be Itoi and Fukudome, at least at the plate. Itoi has looked terrible on the base paths, and we'll get to that later. But these two guys have hit. They've hit the long ball, they've hit for extra bases, they've hit in key situations, and I think they're both hitting over 300 so far. Fukudome's up around 390, so pretty good start for those two veterans.
Yeah, and in general, too, I'd say the bats are making more noise than they were, you know, in the exhibition games, which was a huge concern because they were just dead throughout, you know, most of March. But, you know, it looks like things are starting to come around a little bit. They're not hitting quite as much maybe as I would hope, but still, you know, everybody seems to be getting a few hits, you know, where they need them. And, yeah, so that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Anything else that you like about this year so far?
You know, I guess the only thing I would say is that the only games that I thought were just totally out of hand were kind of the ones that were expected with Fujinami. I mean, the Nomi game, too, obviously, that I was at ended up being that way. But the rest of the games, I thought that, you know, things were pretty much, you know, if not under control, they were all basically winnable games in terms of how the team was playing. So I think that's a good sign moving forward. It's just going to be a matter of what we're going to do with the pitchers who can't hack it at this point.
Okay, here's something really interesting, Jake. We have had the lead in each of these nine games at some point. Now, for one of them, we only had the lead for I think it was the first inning or something like that, but we've always taken the lead at some point in the game, and that's a really encouraging sign. I mean, it means that our bats are doing a good job. It also means that our bats maybe aren't doing so well late in games. It also means maybe that the relief has been a bit shaky, and that has been the case to an extent. But in Fujinami's second game, Iwazaki got tagged with a loss. But interestingly, the way that he allowed that one run, which cost us the game, was there were a couple of bloop singles. And I mean, that really means the pitcher's done his job, just got unlucky, right? Two in a row, he was unlucky. And then there was kind of a, maybe not a dribbler, but it certainly wasn't a hard hit ball that just found the hole between first and second. And those three hits cost us, that was the game. So Iwazaki did a good job in relief. But just bad luck got us in that one, and then poor management at the end of that game.
Yeah, I mean, and the bullpen, yeah, they haven't. There's been a couple of meltdowns, you know, but for the most part, I thought they've been pretty solid. I mean, unfortunately, I saw two of those meltdowns in the same game, the one that I went to. But yeah, you know, the bullpen is looking, you know, I think relatively good, you know, aside from those shakes. So, you know, you hope that can continue moving forward, and we can have sort of the same type of situation we had last year, where the bullpen was just absolutely rock solid. So, fingers crossed. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, the cool thing is that last night. You know, typically Kanemoto was very stubborn about going 7th inning Kuwahara, 8th inning Mateo, 9th inning Dolis. But partly because of Mateo's meltdown on Sunday, but I think also because in the 8th inning we were due to face three straight lefties, he brought Takahashi, Akifumi Takahashi in for the 8th inning, which was a great move. Yes, I'm giving Kanemoto credit for a good decision. But, you know, Takahashi did the job, and the eighth inning was a very silent one for the Carps, and that led into a victory situation right there. So, yeah, I mean, overall, the bullpen has been doing well. They've either had bad luck or just like a couple of, you know, a couple of blips, but I still think that they're going to be a strength this year. However, let's look now at some of the things we aren't too crazy about this 2018 team. And I'm going to get the ball rolling on this one. It sums up in two words: no speed. We've played 9 games. We have 0 stolen bases. That is unbelievable. And it's not that we have a ton of speedsters, but we do have Uemoto, who's pretty fast. We have Itoi, who's, you know, supposedly trying to win the stolen base title, or I don't know, maybe he's aiming for the being picked off title or something like that. But no stolen bases, and I know at least 3 guys have been picked off at first base this year, and at least 2 guys have been thrown out at home so far this year. So that's like 5 outs that could have been prevented and no extra bases that could have been or should have been stolen at some point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And watching, you know, Itoi too last night. Yeah, I mean, Rosario hit the double and Itoi tried to make it home from first. I think Itohara did the same thing earlier, so I think Itoi didn't want to get shown up by him maybe, but he was just out by a mile. And
he looked, you know, sluggish too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he looked really, really slow. That's the problem. And so when I hear like he's going to try to you know, break the stolen base record or whatever, I really have to wonder, because he just does not look fast. And he hasn't looked fast in the field either. I know he's had knee problems, so I really sort of wonder if that's going to be an issue, you know, with Itoi from now on, you know, if he's really going to be able to steal those bases, if he's really going to be able to make it home in the situations where, you know, another player might otherwise be able to do it. But I guess we'll have to sort of wait and see on that one.
Well, you know, he may end up being pulled for a pinch runner late in games if that situation arises again. But he's looked pretty good in the field, I think. Like, he gunned a guy down at home plate. I think it was in Saturday's game, the one that I was at, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was...
That was the one that I was at, actually, yeah.
That was when you were at, sorry.
Great bullet from the outfield, yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So, tell me something you don't like about this team so far.
Fujinami, man. Fujinami. I mean, and Kanemoto's managing of him, too, and I'll try to keep this short and not rant about it too much, but, you know, the first game of the season, first start for Fujinami, I should say, I would give a little bit of slack there, because you're not sure what you're going to see. You have an idea, you know, based on last season. But the second game, he should be on the shortest leash possible, right? I mean, you start to get the slightest whiff that things are going south and you got to pull him. Kanemoto didn't. You know, he walked, I think Fujinami, there were runners on either first or second or second and third, and he walked the bases loaded on 4 pitches, none of which were close to the strike zone, right? And so at that point, that's the instant that I think Kanemoto needs to be out of the dugout and pulling Fujinami right away. So he walked the bases loaded on 4 pitches, and then Kanemoto left him in, and anybody who was watching the game at that point knew what was coming next. And sure enough, walked the next batter on 4 pitches, none of which were close to the strike zone, and walked in the tying run. You know, that right there was bad enough, I think. But after the game, Kanemoto's comments on Fujinami were just mystifying to me, because I'm translating it kind of loosely here, but he said something to the effect that, you know, Fujinami is a guy that you can't read, and that things just go south on you, like, really fast with him. And I was just thinking, like, you know, Kanemoto, what have you been doing, you know, during Fujinami's starts for the past 2 seasons? You know, have you been playing video games in the clubhouse? Like, you know, you can read Fujinami. Unfortunately, like, this is what you get from him these days. And yes, things do go south, like, instantly, and that's why you have to be out there getting him out of the game immediately. And it was really too bad, because I think that was a winnable game. And unfortunately, the fact that he left Fujinami in for that, you know, that long, terrible, terrible managing and terrible pitching. And so that just basically sums up what I dislike about the Tigers so far this season. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what you can't read about Fujinami is who you're going to get on any given start. And what I mean by that is right from the beginning of his start, you'll get a good idea. But before the start, you may not know if you're going to get on fire Fujinami or, what do you call it, garbage dump fire Fujinami. Because, you know, if you look in the preseason when he was up against the Bay Stars, man, he looked lights out for the first 3 innings of that one. I think he retired all 9 guys. I think he struck out like 5 of them. And then the wheels fell off a little bit in the fourth, but that was partly wind-aided. Anyhow, I feel like, you know, that's the part of Fujinami that's hard to read. But speaking of management decisions, like you were saying about Kanemoto, I am still a little bit upset about that Friday loss where he went with the Itohara and Umeno bunts back to back. And the thing with that is he was only going for the tie. He wasn't going for the win. We were down a run and he was trying to sack bunt a guy over to third with no outs. And then he was trying to squeeze play a guy home for the tying run. And that would have been exchanging two outs for a tie. And after that, then, what are you going to do, right? This is the home opener, for crying out loud. You want to win this one, and you want to show the fans that you are out to win the championship. You're not out to tie the championship. You're not out to tie the stinking Dragons. You want to beat the Dragons. You got your best hitter at the plate, and you're telling me your best choice is to bunt a guy over to third with that guy? You got to be kidding me. Not only that, but in the, I think it was Fujinami's first start, in the fifth inning, he had Umeno bunting. This is the bottom or the top of the fifth, right? Umeno bunts, or maybe top of the sixth. Yeah, it's top of the sixth. Umeno bunts, and then Fujinami's due up next in the order. So, you know, Umeno got the guy into scoring position. This is the perfect chance to change your pitcher and say, hey, we're going to go for the jugular here, because I think we were still leading at the time. But instead, he kept Fujinami in. Now, granted, Fujinami ended up walking on that at bat, but the decision to bunt in front of Fujinami and then let Fujinami hit, even though he's already put in five innings of somewhat shaky work. This manager, man, he's going to drive me crazy. And when I came up with the name Wacky Tomoaki for one of our corners on this show, I was doing it half in jest because we had Wada Disaster before. I didn't think we were going to have to use Wacky as much as we are.
We're going to be using that, unfortunately. At this rate, we're going to be using it every single podcast because, yeah, it's amazing the kind of stuff that he comes up with. You know, you kind of just have to laugh at some of the stuff. Yeah, the Itohara bunt was just like, I had to remind myself to breathe as I was watching that. It was just like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Yeah, and in a way, it was almost poetic justice the way that one ended with the double play, because it's like you think it just couldn't get any more pathetic than that, and sure enough, it did. On a double play on a bunt, too, it was just ridiculous. Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. And I think, unfortunately, that is really a part of the Kanemoto era of the Hanshin Tigers, you know, where you're going to have stuff like that now and then.
Yeah, I was hoping that the growing pains of, you know, being a new manager and never having coached or managed before would have gotten out of the way in the first two seasons, but it seems like it's dragging into season number three as well. Did you hear what I did there? Dragging into season number three. Okay, we're going to talk about two more topics before we look ahead to the games that are going to be played soon. The first one is the dilemma at second base. And the reason for this is, actually, we didn't touch on this. This is another thing I don't like about the 2018 Tigers, and that is Takashi Toritani's Iron Man streak. So before I talk about why that bugs me, let's talk about the second base dilemma. We've got Toritani, who was given the starting job on opening day. We've got Hiroki Uemoto, who was the starter at second for much of last year. And we've also got this glass guy named Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who has gotten starts, I think, in the last three games. Yeah, the last three games. So who do you like there and why? Give me your thoughts here, Jake.
Well, it's probably easier for me to say who I don't like, and this is going to be no surprise, but it's Toritani. I mean, the guy just looks terrible. He looks lost at the plate. He just looks he looks like he's checked out mentally in a lot of ways, and you know, he's basically getting put in there only to keep the streak going too, which in a way I appreciate that by Kanemoto. It seems like he's trying to keep him out of the lineup, you know, as much as possible while still keeping the streak going. But, you know, as a second baseman, there's no point in using him, you know. You know, obviously Uemoto is my preference, and I would probably, to have Uemoto in there more, I'd probably change the batting order a little bit. But, you know, I think at this point, Nishioka, you know, the past couple of games, he hasn't looked bad. I mean, he had the Moda show, you know, he had like three hits in the game that I saw. Two of them were pretty lucky hits, to be honest with you, so it wasn't a lights out Moda show or anything like that, But, you know, I can honestly, I mean, if he continues to perform the way he's performing at the plate now, he's not terrible. I can see using him in there. Sort of a platoon situation with Uemoto, but my preference is Uemoto. And Toritani, just try to find a way to keep him out of the lineup as much as possible, I think.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy, though, because, I mean, he has contributed to this team for, what, 14 years or whatever. And, you know, he's got this Iron Man streak that, you know, for all that it's worth, I mean, he's trying, and Kanemoto's trying to keep this thing going, but just examples of how they're keeping it going. So on Tuesday night, last night, he came into the game in the top of the ninth and played second base for three outs. Nothing got hit his way, so essentially he got to stand on Koshien dirt and extend his streak for doing nothing. And the day before, or the game before on Sunday, I believe he had one pinch hit, and I think that was in the bottom of the eighth, if I'm not mistaken. And he grounded out to second on the first pitch that he saw, and then he didn't come into the game as a defensive replacement. So he got one pitch and three outs in the field, and that counted as two games played on his streak. So it's getting more and more pathetic by the week. And, you know, if he does break Kinugasa's record, I'll be happy that the record belongs to a Tiger, but I'm also going to recognize that, you know what, he's not starter material anymore. And I'm with you on that, Jake. I don't like Toritani in the field that much. I mean, he's somewhat steady, but he's pretty unspectacular there. And at the plate, you know, there's not a lot of extra base hits. There's definitely no power. There doesn't seem to be much speed left. You know, he's got the eyes, and that's what he's got going for him. But I'm an Uemoto booster as well, because he's got the speed. He's got a bit of pop in his bat, more than Nishioka and Toritani combined. He's got, air quote, youth on his side. I think he's 31, whereas Nishioka's 33 and Toritani's 36. So I think Uemoto's got the best defensive range, maybe the worst arm of the three, but I'll take that over the assets that he's got.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, too, is that it gets to a point where, especially this season, you know, on paper, the team has the chance to win it all, right? And in that sort of situation, I just feel like you want to be putting the best team you possibly can on the field, you know, as much as possible. And so, you know, as long as Toritani, I understand, you know, you do feel bad for him. You want to keep, I really like the idea of the streak going much longer and having a Tiger owning that record. But at the same time, you know, I really just want to see the best possible team on the field as well, as much as possible.
Yeah, so go with Uemoto, and let's see how far he can take us, you know, and the team with his speed, with his bat, and so on. One more issue I want to talk about, and that is having right now our best hitter, or so far the hottest hitter in our lineup, batting seventh. Now that's Kento Itohara. We've talked a little bit about him. You know, he's hitting the ball really well. He's seeing the ball really well, and he's batting seventh, as opposed to having Toritani slash Nishioka slash Uemoto in the number two slot. And then, you know, in the top slot, we've got Takayama. So I kind of dislike this 1-2-7. I'm okay with the 3-4-5-6 and, of course, the 8-9. But the 1-2-7 kind of bugs me. I think, like, if we go with our plan of going with Uemoto, we should bat him leadoff. And there's a few reasons for that. One, he looks at more pitches than anybody else on the team, except for Toritani, perhaps. Two, he's got speed, and you want that at the top of your lineup. Three, he's got the ability to hit, get the extra base hit. He's got the ability to walk. All that stuff is good in your leadoff hitter. And Takayama, as good of a hitter as he is, he's not got the best of eyes. He doesn't always look at a lot of pitches. In fact, he's definitely like a first strike swinger. So I don't like him at the top there. And then Itohara, I'd like to see him following up behind Uemoto, which does a couple things. One, it takes away the bunt option, except if you're wacky, then you're going to bunt with Itohara. But two, I mean, it gives you a couple of guys at the top of the lineup that are scrappy. You know, they'll look at a lot of pitches. They're going to hit some line drives. I just think it's a good way to set the table for Itoi, Rosario, and Fukudome. And then I would pop Takayama down in seventh. Takayama's a good hitter, and if we can get, you know, some of our cleanup guys on base, that's a good way to kind of end our hitting attack, because let's face it, Umeno and the pitcher ain't going to get it done. So that's the way I'd like to see it. I'd like to see Uemoto, Itohara, and then go with Itoi, Rosario, Fukudome, Oyama, and then Takayama. I respect the man, but I just don't think he's a leadoff hitter. What do you think about this situation, Jake?
Yeah, I'd agree with that 100%. The only thing I would say is that I would give it maybe just a little more time before they start swapping the order around. I think one thing that I saw Kanemoto do, especially in 2016, which was kind of understandable considering the team then, though, but he swapped the batting order so many times, and I felt that it didn't give guys a chance to really sort of settle into where they were. But that being said, I think what you said about Uemoto and Itohara as the first and second batters is pretty much dead on. They're both really scrappy. When you've got guys who are sort of that kind of like annoying batter to face, right? Like, that's a great way to just start the game out right away. You know, you got a good chance of getting somebody on base. And like you said, the third, fourth, and fifth, I mean, They're all batting pretty well now. I mean, Ito and Fukudome really well, and Rosario seems to be coming around a little bit too. So to have that those 1 through 5 guys just right there, I think gives you a really good chance of putting some runs up early. So yeah, I'd agree with that 100%. And Takayama, you're right. I've watched him, you know, swinging at the first pitch, you know, many, many times so far, and a lot of groundouts in that sort of situation. So, yeah, I mean, it'd probably be better if there was someone who's a little more disciplined as your leadoff batter. So, yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that lineup gets shuffled, or if it does, and how things go moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, Jake, let's look ahead at the schedule for the upcoming week.
What's going to happen? What the record's going to be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be? What's gonna happen? What's the record gonna be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's gonna happen?
So tonight is it's April the 11th, so it's Wednesday night, and it looks like Haruto Takahashi, our second round pick last draft, is going to be making his pro debut against the Carp. Last season we had a rookie make his debut against the Carp in the middle game of the series, and he went 3 innings and allowed 6 runs. Please, Takahashi, please do better than that, like a lot better. That would be great.
Yeah, this is going to be a trial by fire again. You know, you throw these guys up against the Carp, I sort of wonder about that, but the flip side, you know, if he does really well, it'll be a big confidence booster, and we'll also take the series too, so, you know, fingers crossed. You know, he's done decent on the farm. I think he's had, 3 starts, I think, 19 2/3 innings, 2.75 ERA, you know, but that's on the farm, so it's hard to say what that's going to translate to against the Carp, but we will find out in just another, I don't know, like
hours.
8 or so hours, yeah.
Yeah, so also interestingly, Fukunaga was the guy last year, and I didn't really hear anything about him until suddenly, like 2 days before his start, when I heard, oh, he might be getting the start on Saturday, and I was like, oh, man, I'm going to be at that game. I don't want to see him. But with Takahashi, you know, Kanemoto has had his eye on him right from spring training, and even some of the other guys, like some of the OBs that go down to spring training, they've all been saying, like, Takahashi has got great movement on his fastball. He throws like no one else. And so, I mean, that is encouraging and interesting, and I'm excited for tonight's game. As for tomorrow, it looks like Randy will be pitching in that one because he threw last Thursday. So, you know, they're going to keep him in that slot at least for now. And then on the weekend, we're going to be facing the Swallows also at home. And it looks like it's going to be Fujinami followed by Akiyama. And then I just read an article saying Iwasada may get his debut on April the 15th, Sunday. So it's going to be fun to see how that goes down. After that, we're on the road for a little bit, but what do you think in these final 5 games? How many do you think we're going to win, and how many do you think we ought to win, or yeah, what would you be happy with?
Well, I think so for the remainder of the series against the Carp, I'd be happy with us just winning the series, so going 2-1. I think it's going to be tricky for Takahashi to go in there and face that lineup right out of the gate. But I think Randy can buckle down, and you know, we'll see. I'm hopeful that we can win the series. The Swallows, you know, I can't for the life of me imagine why Fujinami is starting there. I mean, I know Nomi hasn't been great either. Obviously, he's been pretty bad. But I was kind of surprised to hear that Nomi got the axe before Fujinami did. But I think, you know, Iwasada, you know, he's gone, 16 innings on the farm with a 0.56 ERA, and he's going to be against the Swallows. I think he could probably win that one. I'm hopeful. So I'm going to say we go 2-1 against the Swallows, too. I think Fujinami is just going to be the same thing again. I don't see any reason to expect anything different. So, yeah, I'm going to say we take both series, but we lose, you know, one of the games in each of them.
Yeah, you know, truth be told, I think that's the bare minimum, and I think that's an acceptable number. Like, if we go 4-2 over this 6-game homestand at Koshien, that's acceptable. I think if we end up going 3-3, that's not cool. I mean, especially since we've got that one game in the bank already. So I'd like to see us go 4-2 overall, which means 3-2 over the next 5 games. So we are going to be, ladies and gentlemen, doing this podcast every other week if possible. I think every week is just a little bit too much for the time that it requires and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to try and bring you this thing twice a month. And so look forward to the next episode, which will be coming at the end of April. But right now, I want to make a quick, announcement slash prize offer. And that is, we have got an extra copy of the 2018 NPB Media Guide English Edition. Yeah, that's right. T-Ray's got the connections, and I was blessed with a couple extra copies. And so I want to give one away to one lucky or one skillful or one cool listener. And what you got to do to get this free guide, and of course I'll send it to you, shipping's included, is you got to send me a blurb about yourself, about you being a Hanshin Tigers fan. You've got to tell me how long you've been a Hanshin Tigers fan, how you became a Hanshin Tigers fan, and who your favorite player is on this year's team, or what you think of the 2018 Hanshin Tigers. Send me basically a paragraph. And what I'm hoping to do is, if we get enough entries into this contest, we'll be able to have like an article on the website, so your paragraph will be kind of published. You'll get a little bit of exposure as a Hanshin Tigers fan. And if you're good, if you're lucky, you will get that media guide. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm looking forward to trying to pick up my own copy of it as well, to learn a bit more about the entire NPB. You know, I find myself focusing more on the Tigers and not knowing as much about especially the Pacific League too. You know, when you see like Nogami came over from the Lions to the Giants, and I realized I had no idea who he was. So something like that will help me round out my knowledge a little bit, and I think anybody who picks it up will benefit a lot from it too.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've had it the last couple of years, and it really is a very thorough guide. I mean, you've got like every team's roster, you got all their salaries in there, you got team profiles, you got information about how to get to stadiums, how to get tickets, you got special foreigner profiles, history stuff in there, all sorts of stuff, and it's all in English. A very well done publication. So you're going to like it if you are the winner. Go for it, you guys. Send me your paragraphs or send me your words. The email address is thehanshintigers@gmail.com. So send that in. The deadline for that, I'm going to say, is going to be April the 20th at 11:59 p.m. Japan time. That way I've got a bit of time to sift through them and announce the winner on next episode. And I'll be sending that off before the end of April for sure, so you can enjoy it for as much of the season as possible. Speaking of just enjoying NPB and stuff, you know, you can crank up your enjoyment of NPB by contributing to H10. And you can do that in several ways, whether through articles or just through, you know, doing some translation work for us, doing some website design work for us. Anything that you want to contribute, you know, on the social media side of things, all of that stuff, we would love to have your abilities with us. That would be great. So thank you again for your time and passion for the Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. Check it out. You also can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher. Again, just do your little search, Hanshin Tigers English News. You will find us there. You can subscribe. You can write us a review up on iTunes or on Stitcher. I'd love to hear your feedback. Share this with friends and enemies. Get all the news instantly on Facebook. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. All that stuff is in the show notes, so feel free to check that out. You'll find the show notes either, you know, on iTunes when you download the episode or on the website. So go and check that out. And again, I'm going to include a link to that English book that is coming out on the Hanshin Tigers. And hopefully, I've tentatively set up an interview with the author of the book for later on this year. So you get to hear a little bit from him as well. And I'm hoping to be able to put up a book review on that as soon as it comes out so that all of you can get excited about it and you'll know what it's about. And then you can invest in it and you can enjoy your Hanshin Tigers that much more. So let's keep cheering for the Tigers until the day when we win the pennant. And this is going to be the year, everybody. Am I right, Jake?
Well, I certainly hope so. We'll see if Kanemoto can somehow get his managing skills into shape. But so far, you know, I like what I see. I think we've got the raw talent, the ability to do it. It's just going to be a matter of the pieces falling into place. So, I'm looking forward to the series coming up and looking forward to a more productive spring for the Tigers. And I'm actually heading down to Koshien for my first game at the end of this month. So hopefully I'll see some of you all down there. And go Tigers.
There you go. So let's take the wacky out of Tomoaki and let's go. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll catch you again at the end of the month.